Well, Sunday is World Stroke Day, and this year the big focus is going to be on stroke prevention. So let's see if we can find out a little bit more about that in detail. Dr. Gary Crowford joins us this morning from the Faculty of Health and Medicine at the University of Newcastle. And I guess, good morning, Gary. With stroke being something that we're looking to try and prevent this year, what are some of the important things that we can look out for if we think somebody may be about to have a stroke?
Yeah, good morning, and thank you very much for having me here today. There's lots of things we can actually do with stroke. About 90% of all strokes are actually linked to about 10 risk factors, and nine of them are things we can do things about. The number one risk factor for stroke at the moment is actually having high blood pressure. So getting your blood pressure checked, and if you do have high blood pressure, seeing your GP and starting to get some interventions on that is something that can be really beneficial and certainly help reduce your stroke risk. Increasing our exercise, so trying to exercise as much as 5 times a week. There is a little bit of variation in how much we should exercise, but there is an agreement that more exercise is generally better. Some of the other things we may have also heard about before, so eating a healthy, balanced diet and making sure that we're eating all those fruit and veggies and enjoying only the extra bits in moderation. Looking at your cholesterol, so working with your GP to make sure that your cholesterol is under control. Obviously, having a healthy weight. Smoking is linked to about 1 in 10 strokes. So trying to stop smoking and avoiding secondhand exposure is definitely a good idea. Cutting down on that extra beer or two would also be a good way to reduce your stroke. And one of the other big ones is atrial fibrillation. So that's a funny heart rhythm, and it's linked to about 1 in 5 strokes. So if we can identify that and put you on some preventative medication from causing a stroke, that's something else that we can do.
And I guess your doctor will be the first port of call to check for that irregular heart rhythm. That's something they can look out for you?
Yeah, that's something that can be quickly checked by nurses or doctors down at your GP setting. And if you want to know your actual risk of having, approximate actual risk of having a stroke in 5 or 10 years, the World Stroke Foundation had a free app called the Stroke Riskometer. You can download it yourself, answer a few simple questions. I think there's about 20 of them, and you can find out your approximate risk of having a stroke.
Excellent. Well, that's certainly something to have a look at as well. Now, if somebody, we think that somebody is having a stroke, there is the acronym FAST, which basically tells us what we should be doing there, doesn't it?
Yeah. So we always ask people to think fast if they think someone's having a stroke. So FAST is universal. It works very simply across the globe, and it's 4 simple letters. So F is asking about a facial droop. So can the person actually smile, and is that smile equal? So if part of the person's face has dropped down, that can be a sign of stroke, and it's time to seek help. The second one is A for arms. So can the person lift their arms up? We're looking here to see if they can do it equally. If one person can't lift one of their arms up equally with equal strength, then that's something that would need immediate action. And S is for speech. So if someone's speech comes out slurred, very strange, it's hard for them to get words out, then that's also a sign for stroke. And T is there as a reminder for time. Time is critical. Most of our acute stroke therapies need to be delivered within the first 4.5 hours of symptom onset, so getting to the hospital as soon as you can is really, really important.
Gary, what can be the difference in terms of outcome if you're not there within that time? I know that's obviously a general consensus, 4.5 hours, but what can the difference be in outcomes?
So the reason that we have the 4.5 hours is because we have some fantastic drugs which we call clot busters, and we can give those medications in that time frame to help dissolve the clot in the brain and improve blood flow to the brain. What that does is it means we save more of your brain tissue. So that can mean improved ability to walk, talk, think and act after a stroke, but it will depend on the size of your stroke and where it is, what effect you will actually have. So getting there as soon as you can gives you the best benefit of trying to have the best recovery and at the least amount of deficits following stroke. It's something around 65% of people who have a stroke actually have an ongoing disability in the community. So getting there as soon as you can reduce any disability you do have.
Gary, some great information. There's something we probably don't like to think about too often, but with the National World Stroke Day being on Sunday, great that you've been able to enlighten us a little bit on that with this morning. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
From the Faculty of Health and Medicine at the University of Newcastle, Gary Crowford talking about stroke with the World Stroke Day on Sunday. Yeah, the acronym FAST. Time is always the key, isn't it?